My name's Tony Hazel. I'm a GP and an e-learning fellow for the RCGP. I'm here with Colin Fitzpatrick and Chris Campbell in the third of four episodes about telephone triage. This episode is about how to triage a patient who may have COVID-19 and to assess whether they need to be seen face-to-face in A&E or elsewhere. So, Colin, I've heard the phrase doing a verbal examination. Can you elaborate on what that means?
I think that's around identifying what, if you like, physical signs you can elicit actually just by talking to the patient. And if you think that through, there's quite a lot you can pick up, particularly in the respiratory field. So you can tell how breathless someone is. Can they finish a sentence? Are they struggling to breathe? How well are they speaking to you? That's fairly straightforward. You can assess their temperature if they've got a thermometer, and most people these days have at least got a thermometer. Chronic respiratory patients often will have SATS monitors, so you can actually just ask them what their saturation is going to be. Respiratory rate, you can teach them over the telephone how to measure their respiratory rate, or one of the things I've done recently is point them to one of the many YouTube videos that show you how to measure your respiratory rate and your pulse. So those are all things that you can pick up over the telephone. And maybe, for example, if you say to a patient, well, actually, I want you to go look at this video, figure out what your pulse is, I'm going to phone you back in 10 minutes. That's a very efficient way of doing things, and you get lots and lots of information.
That's great. Thank you very much. I'm interested to hear you say that patients can assess their own respiratory rate, because I think if I was asked to count my respiratory rate, that would immediately alter my respiratory rate because I would concentrate on the breathing. Do you not find that's an issue?
I think that is I think you have to bear that in mind. It simply, affect it in some way. But if you've got a very rapid respiratory rate, you're not going to slow it down just because you're counting it.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. Right. So obviously we think about red flag symptoms all the time when we're seeing a patient with any presentation. Chris, what would you consider to be the red flag symptoms when you're assessing a patient with possible COVID-19, and how would you explore them further?
Well, I think we're all aware of the symptoms of COVID, which are a high temperature, temperature over 37.8, a continuous cough, and breathlessness. So those are the three things that if someone says to us, we're thinking they might have a potential COVID. So I think we take each one at a time. So I think when someone mentions chest pain, I think it's important to explore what they mean by chest pain. So a nice open question, so tell me about your chest pain, will give you a lot better answer than someone saying, is it sharp? Is it dull? Does it radiate? How many out of 10? So ask you a nice open question there. And then if they suggest the chest pain that's typical of COVID, it would help us point towards that one. Then you can maybe ask some more specific questions, such as what makes it better, what makes it worse. So someone with chest pain, which is worse when they lie on it or when something's pushing on it, it might not be is less likely to be COVID than someone with a different type of chest pain. In terms of breathlessness, the red flags are there is asking about when they get the breathlessness. Is it there all the time? Is it at rest? Is it when they exert themselves? And some things I've done on the phone is ask someone to walk up and down a flight of stairs, what I've called the road test. And when they've come off the phone, if they're then really breathless, I know they're then desaturating on exertion, which would then worry me a little bit and point towards a red flag. And in terms of fever, I quite often go back to the Sepsis Trust guidelines and look at questions which may suggest someone's got high fever, like Rigel's, or might be sweaty, they're unable to get warm, even if they haven't got a thermometer, signs that would, if you put your hand on their chest, is it hot and clammy? Are they having to wear two jumpers and a duvet over them? So words like that would point towards they have actually got a high fever and is quite worrying. The other thing we talked about earlier is the golden minute. In earlier episodes, if someone's unable to talk for a whole minute and without getting breathless, that would then ring some alarm bells for me that they've then got red flag breathlessness. I'd also use that to twist it sometimes. If someone's talked for a whole minute without stopping and then they say they're breathless, I quite often reassuringly try and point out to them, well, we've talked for a minute without you getting breathless at all, so I'm reassured, I don't think you're breathless. So we can use that to help with our examination.
Thank you. That's really useful. You talked about the types of chest pain that you wouldn't make you worried about COVID. What would be the features of chest pain that would make you concerned? Are you thinking the sort of cardiac type chest pain or something different?
If you, we don't know an awful lot about COVID at the minute. It's not a disease we have a huge amount of knowledge about, but it would appear that around day five after symptoms start, the patient is likely to develop a pneumonia-type syndrome and basically a viral pneumonia. But about 4 or 5 days after that, they will develop much more. If they are going to progress to serious disease, and many people don't, they will then start to develop the myocarditis, the other symptoms which come as part of the cytokine storm. And those are the ones we really, really need to spot, and we need to get them to hospital quickly. We don't bring them into surgery. They go straight to hospital for assessment there.
And so their chest pain would be your typical cardiac type chest pain that in the absence of COVID, you might be worried about angina.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. If our listeners were asking for just a couple of top tips for phone triage at this unusual time, what would you say to them?
I'd probably say not everything is going to be COVID related. People are still going to have heart attacks. People are still going to have strokes. People are still going to get bacterial pneumonias. So although the whole country is COVID focused at the moment and everything in hospitals is geared up for COVID, there's a lot of people out there with non-COVID. People with chest pains will still be having MIs. They'll still be having PEs. So it's really important as a clinician to keep your diagnostic hat on and think of the differentials and don't label everyone with a cough or everyone with chest pain or everyone with a temperature as COVID.
Absolutely. That's really important that we don't have more morbidity and mortality from the other things that we've missed than the morbidity and mortality of the COVID itself. Colin, would you have a top tip?
Well, I would absolutely agree with what's just been said. As against that, I would also point out that particularly Italian experience has told us that the best place to catch COVID is in a hospital. So if there's somebody whom you can safely manage at home, you should probably manage them at home.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. This was the third out of 4 episodes on telephone triage. I'm Tony Hazel. I'm here with Chris Campbell and Colin Fitzpatrick. Please listen to the last episode, which is on managing healthcare anxiety regarding COVID. Thank you.